101.9 High FM, One Nation, One Station.
Daniel Silk, a political analyst, economist, and keynote speaker to join us to discuss this issue. Daniel, a very good morning. Thanks for taking the time to chat to us.
Young Howard, very good to be with you.
So is there anything, I mean, what is left? What is left for the ANC to do, for it to be publicized, for us to know about, for people to actually say, you know what, maybe this isn't a party that represents my values?
Yeah, it's interesting, Howard. I mean, I've had a second conversation I've already had this morning on a related issue. There's a lot of talk about this issue. I mean, I think the ANC, you know, today, you know, is a party in disarray. It's fragmented and factionalized, as we know. It has very successfully in the past been able to keep itself together, firstly because of the liberation credentials that it has, but also because it's been able to manage the factions. It ultimately just is engaged in a kind of crisis management all the time with its own factions. Keeps them all alive, more or less, doesn't extinguish the flame of any of them, and therefore keeps a support base that likes one or other faction more or less intact. And the third reason why the ANC has kept in power for so long is that it has created for itself what I call a dependency state. When you look at the rise in social income grants, the rise in the state bureaucracy, the very good salary increases that civil servants have got in recent years, these all make people dependent upon the state. And I think those have been sort of the issues that have kept the ANC alive. Now, you know, to answer your question more directly, it becomes more difficult for the ANC to retain those levels of support when the cash runs out. And the cash is beginning to run out. Mm. So the salary increases offered to state employees are not going to be as big as before. Maybe even the jobs won't be guaranteed or won't be there in future. Maybe the issue on being more accountable makes it more difficult for brown envelope patronage politics to be practiced. And as we move into this sort of era where the rubber hits the road, so to speak, for the ANC, it does become more difficult for them to retain the same levels of support.
So one of the things I noticed in the budget speech was this reference to grants. Now, obviously, it means that, as you say, money's running out. But to some extent, that was quite a brave move on the ANC side or on Mboweni's side, because we know that part of the reason that they've retained votes is because of this fear of removing grants should they not be in power.
Yeah, look, I think the budget has been perhaps underpraised for being braver than one would have thought. And for the ANC, this is a break with its recent past. Mboweni was quite straightforward. He sort of, there was no holds barred when he spoke about the issue, particularly of not increasing the social grants budget. And in fact, there was a marginal decrease, not giving South Africans an inflation-linked social grant increase. That's quite an issue for the ANC to deal with. So, yeah, I do think we are seeing a pullback. It's partially as a result of the wastage of resources for the last decade and now as a result of COVID. So COVID has exacerbated the difficulties for the ANC on this particular regard. But of course, you know, to go back to your original question, you can talk all about this. The issue is, you know, voters themselves are either going to be frustrated with the ANC or they're going to have to vote for another political party. And as yet, we haven't seen any of the opposition parties look as though they're growing in leaps and bounds. Voters would rather perhaps stay away from the polls. And the challenge, therefore, is for the opposition parties in South Africa to make themselves attractive enough to take those disaffected ANC voters who don't vote and for those, for that matter, those that have voted for the ANC in the past.
And that's, of course, the massive problem, because on the one side of it, you might have the EFF. On the other side, you've got the DA. But many ANC voters will not feel comfortable with a home, certainly in the DA, probably not EFF either, which leaves them struggling for choice. What about Action SA?
Yeah, I think there is a sort of a political sort of, there's a vacuum in South African politics. I think both the DA and the EFF are relatively unpopular for a variety of reasons. My main issue really is that the many voters themselves are simply scared, or they simply are concerned about their own future, and better the devil you know than the devil you don't know, in a sense, with the ANC. And also, despite the fact that we are going to see a softening of the social income grants, those are still pretty secure in place for many South Africans. We know how there are more South Africans now receiving grants than there are in full-time employment. And that really makes so many millions of South Africans dependent upon the state to risk a vote, so to speak, with an opposition party could very well mean risking whether you will get a social income grant or not. And I'm not saying that's the correct interpretation, but that is an interpretation for many South Africans. So an alternative opposition party, including the new party from Mr. Mashaba, would have to really try and secure the peace of mind of South Africans who are fearful about the future. It's no good just talking about policy issues. You're going to have to tell them that you're going to keep them relatively accustomed to the standard that they've been living in. Otherwise, they're not going to vote for you.
Absolutely. What is your thought? And it's something that I've debated with our listeners a number of times. I'm not sure if it was deliberate or not, but we've got this notion that's evolved to say that there's a good ANC and a bad ANC. And anything that's bad and corrupt and evil and negative, the good ANC lobs over the wall to the bad ANC and kind of protects itself. So we can kind of delude ourselves and say, oh yes, well that's part of the Zuma faction. And that, no, that's good. So that's part of the Ramaphosa faction. Do you think that was deliberate? And how long do you think that this fiction will continue?
You know, I've sort of looked at politicians for a long time. I'm not prepared to label everybody as bad or everybody as good. You know, all political parties have their factions. All of them have, you know, a variety of members with a variety of ideologies, personal ambitions that are positive and negative. And I would certainly wouldn't want to sort of lambaste or paint the ANC just with such a broad brush that it's just all bad. But having said that, you know, we've seen the ANC largely fail to deliver to a broad cross-section of South Africans other than their friends and relatives and cronies over the last decade or so. So the ANC really has failed to utilize the post-94 goodwill in South Africa, the international and domestic goodwill. They fail to utilize that adequately. They fail to plan for the future. And ultimately, it's all about policy. That's what it's all about. So I'm still of the opinion, by and large, that there's a cross-section of well-meaning South Africans across many different political parties and outside of the formal party political system as well, in civil society and in the business community, who share very, very similar values. Yes, there are nuances in terms of ideology or where we'd like to see South Africa from an economic policy point of view, but I think that there is a broad collective consensus in South Africa, and there are elements within the ANC, just as there are elements in other political parties that hold that.
Yeah, so do you think that more people will, final question, do you think that we'll see a lower voter turnout than we've seen if we don't get any traction from any of the new parties?
Well, I think that there's a sort of a point of redemption for President Ramaphosa coming up, and that is, you know, whether we can secure an efficient vaccine, COVID vaccine rollout over the course of this year. If it's efficient, I think that for many voters, they might even look beyond the issues of leadership and policy confusion, and they'll just be happy that the vaccine rollout campaign has been relatively successful. So there's a possibility of that playing into the in Ramaphosa's favor late in the year. But I do think, just very briefly, that we are going to see a fragmentation of political support to different political parties. I don't think there's one political party that's going to derive the greatest benefit from this, but a whole host of smaller political parties, special interest parties, regional political parties, especially in our local government elections, they may well gain benefit out of this, which will mean the ANC will lose some support and we will move back into an era of fractious, but I think useful coalitions for South Africans, at least at local government level.
Right. Let's hope that you are right. Daniel Silk, political economist and analysis, keynote speaker and author, speaking about the future of South African politics.